There are two principles of Buddhist practice generally and of our practice that I would like to discuss a little bit tonight. One is everything changes, or impermanence. The other one is everything is connected, which is dependent origination. Now, everything changes does not mean it disappears. It's just not there the way you would like it to be. Many, many years ago, 1993, my 16-year-old daughter died in a car accident. Shortly thereafter, I went on a 5-day silent retreat in upstate New York, against the advice of several people who thought it was not good timing for me to be on retreat because of my grief and what I was going through. When I got there, this was on a mountaintop. There was probably 100 people there. It was part of the Sufi Order of the West, which was led by Pir Vilayat Khan at the time. He's no longer with us in the physical form. And he was giving private interviews to a few people, and I had a private interview with him. And the gist of the conversation was, we talked about our losses, his loss and my loss. He lost a sister in an accident, and I lost a daughter in an accident. And we talked about that. And he just very gently said to me, they're still here. They're just not here the way you would like them to be. So throughout my life since then, I have honored that. And I think it's important for us to recognize that aspect of impermanence. It's change. It's not the way we would like it to be. So the other thing about the connectedness, that there is no self somewhere, something created that stands apart from everything else. If everything is connected, nothing stands apart, then when this happens, that happens. So when we honor and respect those, whether they're our relatives, our families, our history, our teachers, the Buddha, whoever, when you think of those beings, you're putting yourself in touch with the things that they've contributed to where you are today. You would not be here today the way you are without all that has happened before. So everything we do today, everything we do now, affects future generations beyond our ability to understand it. We don't know the effect we have by how we go through the world. When we say we save all sentient beings, when we say we're on the bodhisattva path, what are we saying? We're saying that we will follow this path of the perfection of wisdom from Buddha's original teachings, that is now what, something like 2,800 years old, and they're as relevant now as they were then. And they will continue to be. Why? Because of these principles that Buddha set forth about dependent origination and no self. So yes, everything changes. Nothing remains the same. But that's not a loss, you see. That's just change. We talk about non-attachment and not clinging. These two principles that I just talked about can help us to not cling to things by recognizing how things are. This is the perfection of wisdom. living with those principles, understanding them, is wisdom. And then what you do in the world is a whole lot different than when you're clinging to the idea of a self, not getting what you want, you know, ignorance, greed, and anger. Those don't have any hold on you when you're living from the view of the perfection of wisdom. This connection, the word Sangha, you know, the three jewels, how all these things are connected. It's mind. My original root teacher in Germantown, Maryland, Gosan Shin, and what I learned the most from him, I got in silence. That sitting with him taught me more than all the sutras and words and things you could expound. Because I learned from him about mind, clear mind. His mind was clear like space. Believe me, when you're sitting with someone whose mind is clear like space, you feel it because you have that too. You know, we're all Buddhas. This connection is profound. It's also just ordinary. That's why it's ordinary Zen. It's every day. It's just the way it is. I'm always amused by people say they're bored. It happens, I understand. But, you know, the mystery of life to me is it's constantly unfolding in front of your eyes. Just take a good look around. Stop being so self-centered. How can you be bored? Yeah. People are so afraid of dropping their ego. If they only knew, you know, what nirvana was, what awakening is, they would drop it in a second. But they have to work at it. So I keep working at it. So any comments or questions?
You know, your talk reminded me of an experience I had some years ago. I was on a retreat with a monk from a forest monastery, and he was talking about a lot of what you talked about tonight of impermanence and not clinging. And at the end, a woman raised her hand and she said, "I'm with you on everything except a parent and their children." She said, "Parents are meant to be attached to their children. That's how you be a good parent." And he said something like, it's even more important to not be attached to your children and to not have expectations of who they're going to be and what they're going to do. And, you know, he gave this whole thing. And I remember her saying, well, you're a monk, you're celibate, and you don't have children. So I don't think you can understand. Mm-hmm. And he sort of, you know, he just sort of let it go. Mm-hmm. But it just always stuck in my mind.
Yeah, I think she was having a misunderstanding, and maybe it wasn't communicated clearly about just what non-attachment is. It's that sense that non-attachment means, in a sense, that you don't care, that you pull yourself away from. But actually, the opposite is true. You're to be totally present. I spent years parenting, but not really parenting, not really being there. So involved in wanting to be a good parent, so involved in doing my jobs, doing the caretaker thing, being what I was told I should be by society, blah, 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 blah.
It was like the phrase, we are the bows from which our children as arrows are set forth. Yeah, I think that if when I don't feel attached, then I can see a much bigger picture.
Well, the other thing is we take responsibility for this being that may have come into this world with its own ideas about what its job is to do. So all of a sudden, you know, we're the one, it's as though we invented them, you know, they're puppets on our strings because they look like us. They, you know, they have our, there's this genetic thing. So suffering comes from all of this conceptions and projections of what we think we should be instead of what we really are. So he was right. He may not have presented it in a way that she could understand it, but I think he was right. We talk about Zen being before thought and beyond conceptions and thinking and words and scripture and ideology and all those things that we create. And that's really an important aspect of what this is. Because you can't have a mind that's clear like space when it's filled with your projections. Unless you recognize that they're projections, then your mind is clear like space, even with the projections. In fact, you never get away from the projections, actually. So this non-attachment thing is really about not identifying with the idea of self. It's no self. It's non-arising, as Buddha says. But that's, you know, we conceptualize that instead of actually experiencing it. Prajnaparamita, or wisdom, is not a concept. It's not something you have to get like you read in a book. It's who you are. Anybody else have anything they want to share tonight? All right, well, thank you all for joining me tonight. Appreciate it.